Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody that's a father. Thank you. I want to start with prayer this morning, and you can join me if you remember the Lord's Prayer. I will be praying in the King James old school fashion, because that's how I learned the Lord's Prayer. Join me if you'd like. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and we forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this is the second part of a two-part message that's really mostly just a two-part message because I told you it was a two-part message and it was called The Father and the Son. Other than that, it's not really related. last week, obviously, we talked about the Son, and this week I'm going to talk about the Father. It's Father's Day, and if anybody hasn't figured that out at this point, then you're probably in a lot of trouble. So a child once said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, except the presents are cheaper. To which, of course, a father replied, what presents? So I came across that, and I just said, you know, I'm going to call my dad. Because when I was a kid, you know, I'd get together with my sisters and my mom. We'd try and figure out something to get dad for Father's Day. And most of the time, it's just candy. So I called my dad yesterday, and I said, hey, I'm preparing everything for the message, and I was just curious, what Father's Day present do you remember of all of the Father's Days, everything else? He said, I don't know. Did I get Father's Day presents? So that, you know, it certainly isn't like the Craftsman commercials where, you know, like getting your father a wrench is like getting your mom a flower for, you know, Mother's Day or anything. So, and I said, well, you know, I think we just got you candy. And he said, oh, well, that makes sense, because I like candy. You know, but Father's Day can be fun. We treat it a little bit different usually, I think, than Mother's Day. Dads probably like doing different things than moms. I think later we're going to shoot bows and arrows or something. So Father's Day coincides with this message, no coincidence, that we're talking about the Father on Father's Day. There are no doubt people here whose fathers have already passed away. There's probably other people here who never had an earthly father. And even more sadly, there are probably other people here who have had terrible fathers. It ranges through all of those things. There is, however, a Father in heaven who desires for you to be his child. And I want to tell you about this Father this morning. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to my dad about fatherhood. I had had a few children at that point, and a few more after. And, you know, I remember just kind of talking about some of the joys and struggles of being a father. And he stopped and he said, you know, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you and all the things you've done, and, you know, I really wish I had been a better father. And I was kind of surprised, and I said, you know, hey, I thought you were a great dad. I don't know what you mean, I wish I could have been a better father. Well, then he gets a little teary-eyed, and that's not difficult. My dad gets really teary-eyed very, very easily. We tease him about it a bit. My mom doesn't take him to emotional movies anymore. It's a whole thing. If you're listening to this later, Dad, sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, at least as much as you embarrass us as children. So we were talking about fatherhood, and he said, you know, because I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't have a father, and so I just prayed, you know, God, be the father that I don't know how to be to my children. His father left when he was very young. In fact, his father's father was an orphan, and his father before him was an orphan. So my great-grandfather, grandfather, and father had no father in their life. So for them, they didn't have something to look back to when they were raising their children. And even though I have somebody to look back to as an earthly father, I remembered those words that my dad said. I just prayed that God would be the father for you that I didn't know how to be. And at that time, I thought, that is an amazing prayer. You know, I don't care that I did have a father. I'm going to start praying that prayer from now on, you know, and I did. And I said, you know, God, be the father to my children that I don't know how to be. Because we've all got failings as fathers. We, you know, don't get it right all the time. Big surprise. So, the word father. We looked at last week the word for son and kind of how we use that word in culture. The obvious meaning is a father is, you know, just a man who has a child is a father. That's really obvious. The other use is somebody who does fatherly things and, you know, is a father to somebody that's not necessarily their biological child. And then we also use that word as in the progenitor, big word for the morning, progenitor of something like Vint Cerf is the father of the internet. Or Gaichin Funakoshi is the father of karate. Or Stephen F. Austin is the father of Texas. Blank stares across the board. All right, fine. No internet nerds, no kung fu nerds, and no Texas nerds here. Okay, good to know. So, lastly, just like the capital S son refers to the second person of the Trinity, the capital F father is the first person of the Trinity, that is Father, who is God. So, how do we know the Father? Matthew 11 tells us, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus will reveal the Father to everyone who seeks him. Later, Jesus had been telling his disciples at the Last Supper about his upcoming betrayal and death. And then when we get down into John chapter 14, he tells them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and that where I am, you may also be. And you know that the way to where I am going. At this point, Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You would have thought that would have explained things. But then Philip goes on to ask, okay, just show us the Father, and that's going to be enough for all of us. Jesus says, have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So you do know the Father if you know Jesus. We see this call during the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus to sort of this perfection, this unattainable goal in our lifetime as we're going, but it doesn't mean that it's not something we should strive towards. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:48, he says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So we're going to look at how to be perfect like our heavenly Father is perfect this morning. But in order to see what some of those are, we have to know what the Father is that we could emulate and strive to be. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, co-workers, employees, employers, as perfectly as the Father. So, the Father is a provider. Matthew 6:8, he says, "Do not be like them." He's speaking to the Pharisees, you know, who publicly pray and show everybody how great they are with their loud prayers and everything else. It says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Later on, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Matthew 7:8-11. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" We have a Father who is a provider for our needs to accomplish his goals and to bring his glory. He is also a revealer. So we mentioned this last week, with Jesus being the Son of God and asking his disciples who they said that he was. And Simon Peter says, you know, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, you know, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The Father revealed Jesus as his Son, and the same should be with earthly fathers who reveal to their children Jesus. One of the things that my dad did and that I continue to try and do with my children is just every night we grab the Bible and we'll read a chapter. We just finished Psalms. I don't know how long that took, maybe a year or two. We'd read a psalm a night. And when we finished with that, the boy, and I said, "Where are we going to go next?" I said, "Oh, we're going to go to Genesis." We're in the middle of reading Genesis now, but every single night we pull out a Bible, we read something from the Bible, we pray, sing a song usually, they don't dance. And it's important that we do those things and show that leadership and reveal God's word to our children. God is also merciful. Luke 6, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." Something that gets difficult to do sometimes is to remember to be merciful when the kids just did X, Y, Z, and, you know, all of your favorite ABC is destroyed. But remembering mercy and leaning on our Father who's given us mercy and has empowered us to be merciful when we know him is important. Our Father disciplines. Sometimes that's a really tough thing to deal with, is disciplining. Hebrews 12 kind of talks about this and points out the difference between our discipline and God's discipline. He's a little bit better at it than we are. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, if we have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, we as earthly fathers do discipline as we see fit at the point in time that we think it's appropriate. Heavenly Father disciplines justly. It's for our benefit. It seems painful at the time, but it produces fruit. And expect to be disciplined. That's probably another difficult understanding in Christianity, that Christianity is not the I've accepted Jesus and my life is now easier, or my, you know, all of these things go right. You struggle every day to pick up a cross and to sacrifice all of your self goals and put Christ goals in the center of your life. And the Lord disciplines you. I was talking to a friend of mine back home in Texas a while back. He's a huge martial arts. He would have understood the Ganekochi Funakoshi reference. But we were talking about martial arts, and you know, I was talking about discipline, how you get instructors, and they continually discipline you. You have to stay disciplined, and you know, work out and make sure your muscles are in the right shape to do the techniques that you need to be able to do. You're not going to be able to flip somebody over, you know, that's 5 inches taller than you if you don't understand all of the right techniques and you don't have the muscles to be able to execute those techniques. You've got to stay disciplined. And it's not really all that fun. I'm sure there are crazy people out there that enjoy exercise. I don't know who those people are. I really, really do not. But at the time, those things are painful, like a lot of discipline is. But what comes out of those things is a stronger body, a healthier body, one that I haven't attained yet. And you're able to do so many more things, just like the discipline from the Lord enables you to produce a lot more for his kingdom than you were before. So, last, the Father is Daddy. So, Abba, Father, we see show up in the New Testament 3 different times. Abba is like a child's word. It's, you know, like Dad or Daddy. Dada. Every language in the world, through all historical writings that have ever been seen, you know, all of the archaeologists, you know, assume that this type of a word is sort of a prehistoric word. This, kids say, you know, very, very early. Every language has some version of this. Czech, Greek, Sanskrit, Romanian, and Polish, it's Tata. Chinese, Bangla, East African, Kikuyu, Kiswahili, Luo, Farsi, Turkish, say Baba, French, Dutch, German, Hindi, Hungarian, Japanese, Latin, Russian, Spanish, Venetian, say Papa. So this is the familiar, familial, loving word for your father. I forgot, Jamie, I was just going to interrupt this and just ask my wife a question. Who called me father all the time? Was that Connor or Caleb? It was really weird. It was Caleb. Caleb, I love you, Caleb. You're awesome. Was our sort of language, very quick, understood language. And he insisted, for some reason, over a couple of years, on calling me father and not dad or anything else. And I remember how strange it felt. And Jamie and I had talked about it. I was like, this is really, weird. He's just saying father, and it feels like alien to be called father, even though I am a father. I am his father. This is obviously a correct term. He's not using it wrong. But instead of being called dad, he's saying father. And that just, it feels weird. It's strange. I think Eric does something like that now. Eric will say, dad is my father and mom is the boss. And that's like one of his favorite phrases at the moment. But as far as I can tell, he understands that dad is father, because that's what he calls me. He knows me as dad, but he knows that functionally my role is as his father, but he still calls me dad. So being a dad is different than being a father. So a father is, a cold, functional term. Being a dad is a very different, more intimate and close relationship with your children. So let's look at the three times we have the word dad show up in the New Testament, Abba. First one is in Mark 14, 33 to 36. He took Peter, now this is right after the Last Supper, and unless I'm getting the events backwards. Anyhow, they're going up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knows that coming immediately is his death and pain and suffering. This is going to happen really, really soon. And so he takes his really close friends, his disciples, up with him. He takes them, and he begins to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And then he goes on a little further, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." In his deepest moment in prayer that we see in the scripture, he calls out to his dad. He says, "Abba, Father." You can call out to a dad with your pain, and he hears you. Dads hear you. Next, in Romans 8, if you call somebody a dad, you know that they're going to be with you through all of the things that you deal with. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." I'll stop this to say, and I might have said this before at another time, but all who are in Christ are sons of God. So, yes, ladies, you are sons of God. Guys, guess what? You're also brides of Christ. Okay, so let's not get confused and all that sort of thing. So, you are all sons of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You know, there is a confidence knowing that your dad is the person in charge. If you have ever gone to a workplace where your dad was a boss, and somebody says, "What is this kid doing here?" And you go, "That's my dad." Then they're not messing with you because he's the guy in charge. That's his kid. I'm going to leave him alone. We can rely on and stick with God in that same way that he is my dad. Last in Galatians 4, our dads set us free. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. We mentioned heir both times in these passages. I don't have any idea what the laws are in Wisconsin, but I know in Texas, if you're an adopted child, you legally cannot be written out of the will. I guess your own children you can write out of the will. But if you've chosen a child to adopt, they're part of your of that inheritance. They can't be written out. And in the same way God has chosen us, we inherit part of that kingdom from God. That can't be taken away. We can't run off like a prodigal son, you know, saying, I want all of it right now, and squander it. It is there. He sets us free from those things that enslaved us in sin and makes us heirs with Christ to inherit. Well, of course, all of these things, provider, revealer, the merciful, the discipliner, the daddy, come out of a father's love. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The world should be able to see our love for one another and know the Father. They should see Christ through us, who reveals to them the Father. That love that we're given is the way that we pour out love to everyone else. In the next chapter of 1 John, John tells us, beloved, let us love one another. Here's another song. I remember this song, 1 John 4, 7, and 8, that always got stuck in my head. It's these two verses, if you want to memorize something this morning to stick in your planner for memory verse, these two would be the verses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved of God, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. All the things that we receive come from God's love for us. So, how do we respond to this Father? First, I want to tell you a parable of two fathers. This is what Jesus is asked the Pharisees. He says, what do you think? A man has two sons. And he says to the first, go and tend to the fields. And that says, nope, not going to happen. But then later on, changes his mind and goes out. The second son, he tells the same thing, go out and tend the fields. And that son says, yes, sir, I'll go do it. But he never goes out. Which of the two sons was obedient to his father? Well, the Pharisees said, the first is the one that was obedient. So Jesus says, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you, that's John the Baptist, in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not go afterward and change your mind and believe him. Don't miss the opportunity when God says, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. That Jesus has died, paid for your sins, and wants you to come and know him. Take all of your heavy burdens, all of your strife, your everything, and hand it over. Even if you're like the first son who says at first, no, I'm not going to. It's okay to change your mind and turn to God. But don't be like the Pharisees or the second son who say, yeah, sounds great. I'll do it. I follow you, God. And then never go out to be obedient, to do his will in the rest of your life. So believe that the Father loves you and wants you as his child. Jesus says, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that any one of these little ones should perish. So here's this homework assignment for your Father's Day. Kids didn't think they were going to dance. You didn't think you were getting homework. read Matthew chapter 6. Thank your Father in heaven. Call out to our Dad with your struggles and your hopes and your needs and your love for him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. You are wonderful and mighty to be praised. We pray for your kingdom to be manifest here on earth and your will to be as unhindered here as it is in heaven. We ask for you to sustain us in our daily walk. Lord, help us to avoid the pitfalls around us and set us free from the ones we've already fallen into. We know you are Father over all who love you. It is your kingdom, under your power, and to your glory, we all say. Amen.
Amen.